We continue with our study of the interrogation of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, we need to read this text very carefully again and again until we get the flow of thoughts. The Lord Jesus was arrested in the Garden of Gethsemane. And then he was in the night brought to the home of Annas, the former high priest. And he was interrogated by Annas because he was still the power behind the Sanhedrin council. He was the father-in-law of Caiaphas. Now, this is important for us to take a look at what this interrogation was all about. And so we read about how Annas was still called the high priest. The reason is because he was de facto the power behind the high priest rather than Caiaphas, who bore this title, but in theory, he was the high priest, but the real power behind the Sanhedrin council was actually Annas. And so the high priest then asked the Lord Jesus, one, who his disciples were, two, what his doctrine was. The first question about his disciples, the Lord Jesus refused to answer. Now that takes a lot of courage, a lot of strength to be able to protect the identity of his disciples. Of course, he could have just simply said, you know, there are two of them out there, John and Peter. Well, that would put them into trouble immediately. Or the whereabouts of all the other disciples. He refused to answer such a question. Well, that takes a lot of courage to and resilience to be able to do that. And then he was asked about his doctrine. Now, this was a very, very astute reply on the part of the Lord Jesus. And he said, we read this in John 18, verse 20. I spoke openly to the world. The word world literally means Israel, means in public. Not the world as in regional world, but in public. Then he went on to explain what he means by the world. I always taught in synagogues. That's part of the world. In the temple. That's part of the world, where the Jews always meet. This is his idea of, I spoke openly to the world. And then he went on to explain further. And in secret, I have said nothing. Meaning to say that there was nothing to be ashamed about. What he said, what he taught, they were publicly declared. And so he asked the high priest, why do you ask me? Ask those who have heard me what I said to them. Indeed, they know what I said. Right? Now, those who were there, they would probably have guilty faces, guilty consciences, because they knew exactly what the Lord Jesus had said and done. But they said nothing to the high priest. So did they really report what the Lord Jesus Christ actually teach? Not really. They just did whatever they were told to do. They made false reports. They spoke against the Lord Jesus. But Annas himself, remember, Annas is quite an old person because he had already retired as the former high priest. So he was perhaps not as much in touch with what is on the ground. And so he asked the Lord Jesus who his disciples were, how many they were, what his doctrines are. And so the Lord Jesus Christ refused to entertain such questions because it should have been obvious. But when he had said these things, one of the officers who stood by struck Jesus with the palm of his hand, saying, do you answer the high priest like that? Well, Annas was well regarded, obviously, by all his officers. Those whom he had appointed, those who had been loyal to him, of course, they stood by him and they wanted to defend whatever honor he had. And so this was a typical way of intimidating a person who is brought to his presence. And so physically, this officer abused the Lord Jesus with a hard slap. And he raised this question: do you answer the high priest like that? In other words, you must show deference. You must answer as you have been given the question. You must speak humbly, politely, and so on and so forth. Well, the Lord Jesus Christ wasn't rude in any way. He was just stating the obvious. But that would mean that the high priest was not well informed. That would mean that a high priest, so-called, should not be high priest because he doesn't even know what was happening. So as far as ground news is concerned, the high priest certainly was not as in touch with all the things that were going on. Of course, he would be familiar with things of the Sanhedrin Council, but would he be familiar with all the teachings of the Lord Jesus? I don't think so. But his role was protected, his person was defended by his officers. And so the Lord Jesus Christ answered this officer: if I have spoken evil, did I say something evil? Did I say something evil that deserves this slap from you? Obviously, no. You bear witness of that evil. But if I speak well, in other words, I spoke the truth. His doctrines were well known to all. He spoke in temples, in the temple. He spoke in synagogues. Was that not true? So therefore, the Lord Jesus Christ spoke well. And the officer didn't have a rejoinder. He couldn't reply. What could he say? This was the stance the Lord Jesus Christ had taken. His doctrines were out there in the open. He can call any number of people who would be able to testify that what he said was in fact true and correct. Well, Annas knew that he couldn't go further. Because if the Lord Jesus Christ refused to speak about his disciples, that was within his rights. If he had spoken truly, openly in the world, in synagogues and in the temple, and many heard him, then he could not question the Lord Jesus further, because the Lord Jesus can say, why don't you ask all the people who were there? There were the scribes, there were the high priests, chief priests, there would be the rulers of the synagogues. He could ask them. And some of them actually had become believers already. And Annas knew, but this was a person who was shrewd, who was sly, who was cunning, who knew just when he would be beaten. And this was one of those moments where he knew he could not gainsay whatever the Lord Jesus Christ had answered him. So what did he do? Now, this is important for us to understand what he did. Knowing that this would be a useless discussion, this was already quite late in the night. So what he ordered was that the Lord Jesus Christ should be bound. In other words, make sure that he doesn't run away. Make sure that he will face the next interrogation. This time it would be before Caiaphas. Perhaps Caiaphas, being the younger high priest, would have more time, more energy, more patience, more perseverance to pursue other things that he wanted to pursue. But as far as the Lord Jesus Christ was concerned, he had stood his ground. He had done nothing wrong. He had in fact spoken well. He did not deserve to be treated like this, even though he may not be the high priest. And so he had to let him go because there were just no grounds for him to be there any further. And he knew what must be done. The next move must be to go to Caiaphas. And of course, the move after that, he must be brought to Pontius Pilate. It must be done swiftly. Why? Because the Passover was at hand. They cannot prolong this interrogation. It must be done as quickly as possible. If the Lord Jesus Christ can be intimidated because he came before the high priest or because he was slapped physically, abused physically, and if he will not respond to either psychologically or physically, then the high priest Annas knew that he was defeated because he couldn't do anything more than try to intimidate the Lord Jesus. Now we have a very, very, very sharp, stark contrast between the Lord Jesus and Peter. Now we already discussed that Peter had denied the Lord once. Now we are going to take a look further in John 18 and then 19 to 26. We read, "Now Simon Peter stood and warmed himself," verse 25, "it was a cold night. And then people were looking at him." He was probably obviously not one of the familiar people who came to the home of Annas. So when you come to see a stranger, he would stand out like a sore thumb. "And so they looked at him and they said to him, 'You are not also one of his disciples, are you?'" Well, obviously, this was the same tack that the servant girl who let in John and Peter took. And so they said to him, "Are you not one of his disciples?" Well, Peter was not cool, neither was he calm, and he was there and he said, "I am not." But then you have a third one of the servants of the high priest, a relative of him whose ear Peter cut off, said, "Did I not see you in the garden with him?" This was now the third denial. Peter denied again, and immediately a rooster crowed. Well, Peter was actually harassed by at least two other individuals, right? In verse 25, we read, "Therefore they said to him," in other words, more than one. And then, obviously, one of them said these words to Peter. That person's word stood up, was captured. Then one of the servants of the high priest came up and said, "Did I not see you in the garden?" He was there. And, you know, he could recognize Peter, even though there was not great light there. And Peter couldn't help himself, and he ended up with a third denial, John 18, 27. Now, as we take a look at this particular incident, we realize, again here, how John 13, 36, 38 were fulfilled. Peter had said to the Lord Jesus, he asked, "Where are you going, Lord?" And the Lord Jesus Christ said, "Where I am going, you cannot follow me now." Meaning to say, he was not ready, did not have enough courage, did not have enough strength, did not have enough faith to follow the Lord Jesus on this path. "But you will follow me afterward." And so Peter was a bit offended and he said, "Lord, why can I not follow you now? I will lay down my life for your sake." And the Lord Jesus Christ looked at him and said, "Will you lay down your life for my sake? Most assuredly, I say to you, the rooster shall not crow till you have denied me three times." And so we read in the Gospel of John 19, those three occasions came about. The servant girl, the crowd in the of people who were warming themselves, and one of the servants of the high priest who was related to the man Malchus, whose ear Peter had cut off, accused him. "You are one of them. I saw you." and Peter denied. Now we see an obvious and a very stark contrast between the Lord Jesus and that of Peter. What makes the difference? Well, it's very obvious. I think we all would not be able to say that we are like the Lord Jesus. We would probably be able to admit that we are more like Peter. We can make a profession of faith. Whether we will actually be able to stand fast by our faith is another question altogether. And our challenge must be to examine deep down in our hearts whether what we say about our faith in the Lord would actually be matched by our actions in real life. And may the Lord help us to find humility to admit that we are not as courageous, not as strong, not as faithful, not as steadfast as we think we are. Can we become a little stronger? Well, the Lord Jesus Christ held out that possibility for Peter. You will follow me afterward. Sometimes it takes defeat, sometimes it takes failure to help us recognize our actual strength. And in humility, we return to the Lord to find renewed strength and courage. May that happen. Let's pray together. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for the Lord Jesus and his example of how to be composed, to be able to have the courage and strength of life and of faith, to face any query, any challenge. But we unfortunately identify far more with Peter, and we are unable to find that courage and that strength and that steadfastness. We pray that you will give to us that mercy to examine our own hearts, to come to you in confession for cleansing, and then to find new courage. We pray this in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen.